Terry Reid this afternoon, though.
Yes.
Well, folks, happy Resurrection Sunday. It's good to see each one of you here. We're glad to have Frank with us, and of course everybody else as well, but it's good to see Frank over. Did they have the parades out, Frank, or...
Easter, or...
For you, around
for you,
home.
For you.
Got a face of stage.
It's good to see each one of you. Please do remember those that aren't with us this morning, Pat and Steve. Mm-hmm. Normally Frank is in there with the people that aren't with us of a morning, but they're here this morning. Pat and Steve and John. We miss everybody that isn't here. But we'll begin with a wee word of prayer. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. And we pray you, please, this morning, Father, for your good hand upon us, not just ourselves, Lord, but all of our sister churches, wherever they might be. I think especially on Black Creek over in New York and Grace Bible and Cloudy Water there in Temple Patrick and Stan and the folks in Bangor. And Wilkinson there, Lord, even up in Alton Galvin, and Johnny Campbell, all those that love you, Lord, and are just getting ready to preach the gospel, to worship and praise you in this Sunday of Sundays, Lord, in the year. I think, Lord, it works so hard in people's hearts, seemingly that even the shops be closed today, and I thank you for that. Please bless our time in your presence. Lord, we look forward to singing some of those good old songs, and hearing the reading of your word, and the preaching and teaching, and the fellowship too. Lord, please be one of our number. We really do love you, and we're thankful, Lord, for your free gift of salvation. And pray, Lord, you'd be with us this morning. Please find the service acceptable in your sight, Lord. And bless our food and stuff as well, later on. But, Lord, we're looking forward to this. I love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Right, let's begin with what is the most favourite of Easter songs. We're going to begin with number four in the little black book. Number four in the little black book is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Oh,
shifting over to the big books this time for a very inspiring hymn, gets you up and going. It's called Christ Arose, number 36 in the big hymn books. Number 36, and if you're able, we should stand for this one. Can't sing Christ Arose sitting down. Hymn number 36, Christ Arose. Hey.
Chapter 15, verse 26 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And when he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so we believe. Now, Christ, we preach that he arose from the dead. Now say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then in Christ not risen, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God, and we raised up Christ, whom we raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen, is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also, which have fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now in Christ, risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man come death, by man come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, and he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen.
Good chapter. Look forward to the other half in the near future. Some good bits on that too. Appreciate the Bible reading. The Bible readings, in fact. If it wasn't for the Bible, then we wouldn't be here. Amen. Just want to remind everybody, a little aside on our Resurrection Sunday service, to make sure you get one of the little prayer lists, and just take a moment and open the floor for any prayer requests, if anybody has any to add to this. Does anybody have anything they would like to add to the prayer list? Okay. To change your mind even after the service, come and ask me. Make sure I have a pen in my hand and I write it down on the paper, because I'd be so focused on the service I will forget everything else, and everybody knows that. So if you have a prayer request, let me know and I'll write it down. My other request would be for a list of those with private prayer requests. 1, 2, that's us. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any thanks? Anything the Lord has done for you during the week? Yes, Mrs. Bradley.
We fixed the electric out
in
the back.
Fix electrics.
And we know not what to do, not do in the future.
And the flute.
Oh, yes.
There you go. Monica was able to fix her flute that she brought to a man out in Rosemount who was supposed to be good at fixing flutes and stuff, but he couldn't fix it because he didn't have the right instruments. Monica was down playing the flute, I think, was it here?
I don't know.
and she used her thumbnail to tighten the screw a little bit, and the flute seemed to be playing itself just fine. And we're glad of that. If we'd done that about 6 months ago, we would have saved ourselves £20. But there you go. Amen. All right. If there's nothing else, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Will, if you would lead us, please, brother.
Heavenly Father, thank you this day, Lord. We thank you for the day, this day that Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, Lord, and he rose on the day, Lord, or way back 2,000 years ago. We thank you for his sacrifice, for his the sacrifice and his blood-bought ransom for our sins, Lord. To only those who accept the free gift of eternal life through your Son, Lord. Lord, we are from the number, Lord. Guide Mark to come to deliver the gospel, Lord. Stay all our hearts on thee, Lord, and may be in tune with thee, Lord. We also remember absent Brown, with Colin, wherever he is, deliver from any trouble, keep safe and well, and deliver from any trouble that may come his way, Lord. Save Steve, Carl, and John, Lord. Also remember Pat and Steve, Lord. Give Steve and Lisa dialysis, Lord. Give Pat rest by your strength, Lord, as well, Lord. And keep them well, Lord. Bring to your 6 point thanks, Lord. We thank you for John being here, and John as well, Lord. And all of us in this church today, Lord, may our minds and our souls reverberate according to thy will, Lord, and may thy will be put in our hearts, Lord. May our hearts be receptive to the preaching of the gospel, Lord, and may we say a true blessing and revival throughout our land, Lord, this day, Lord, and the coming day, Lord. With all the churches throughout the world, Lord, that are celebrating Easter, Lord, today, Lord, keep them safe and well, Lord. See souls safe, mind it properly, and thy great name be praised throughout the world, Lord. Give the Jews, Lord, deliver from any trouble, Lord. Keep safe and well, Lord. Save souls from dying, Lord. Deliver anybody from getting killed, Lord. And beautifully keep them safe and well, Lord. Bless the Jews, Lord. Deliver from their enemies, Lord. Also save the Palestinians as well, Lord. Deliver us from any trouble. Keep safe and well, Lord. And may you say a blessing today. For thy honor, for thy glory, Jesus Christ, again.
Amen. Thank you. Well, amen. Next, we have a little bit of a treat for you. We're going to have Monica and First John going to come up and play There Is a Green Hill Far Away. It's number 6 in the wee black books if you want to follow along.
Mark, how many
verses are there?
5.
We'll do 5.
John, we're doing all 5. Change the plans.
Thank you.
kindly to the Bradfield Jewel. Much appreciated. We are going to move into the big hymn books now for one of our requests this morning, 281. 281 is also to do with the salvation of the Jewish people this time back in Egypt. No, it's not. I'm thinking of a different one. 281, sorry. Which one am I thinking of?
This book,
you're on. When I see the blood. Yes, number 281 in the big book, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Saviour. Just ignore that last 2 minutes of rambling that I had. Don't ignore the next 35 minutes of rambling. Hey. 281. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Chapters in Luke before the end of it. In fact, there's one. This is the first day of the week. This is Resurrection Sunday. We're reading about in the Bible on Resurrection Sunday, on the Sunday that we have set aside to make a fuss about Jesus and him rising from the dead to save our souls. I tell you what, there's many a person making a fuss about other things during the week and other Sundays, but today we're making a fuss about Jesus and everything that he has done for us. The road to Emmaus. Let's have a read of, you know what, there's a bunch of verses. We're going to read them all. Hope and pray that this will be a help to you. The word of God says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. 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 Verse number 31 was the verse, or a couple of verses, 31 and 32, were the verses that really, really struck me as I was considering Resurrection Sunday, where the Word of God says that their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now let's have a word of prayer and then we will continue. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you again. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your word for us. Thank you, Father, for inspiring men and women down through the centuries to preserve it, sometimes even at the cost of their lives, and making good on your precious promise that heaven and earth will pass away before your word does. Please bless this time in your presence. And Lord, everywhere that your word is opened and the full counsel of it is preach this day and every day, Lord. Please bless the hearers of it too. Father, thank you for your many helps and blessings. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities, even the good weather yesterday as we put leaflets out in clean. I pray you, Lord, that you would bless those and the many thousands of others that have gone out over the years. Please be one of our number, Lord, and please do open our understanding and our eyes, Lord, as we spend this time in your word. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. 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 We live in very interesting times. But regardless of what is going on in the world, and how much and how quickly things change, I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just a quick aside, a brief, what they used to call it, the Reader's Digest version of what we have just read. We have just read about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In order to get the full account, we ought to read the other accounts at the tail end of all of the other Gospels. But most of them start with an early morning visit to the tomb, and it was a custom to do that, to deliver spices and myrrh and aloes and things like that, to anoint the body, to kill the smell as a token of respect, and Jesus wasn't there. The Word of God said many years previously that the Lord God Almighty would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. And so he has been. Jesus was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, preaching the gospel to those that were in paradise, just across from hell, as was mentioned in Luke chapter 16. And then, taking them all up to heaven, he appeared to the people on the earth. The first of whom was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. Did anybody notice the name Joanna there? I believe she was the wife of Chuza, which was Herod's steward. So even in the midst of the worst of God haters, there's still people that love God. That's good to know. And they go to see the tomb, and they see these two men there. And these two men tell them, what are you looking for? What are you looking for the Savior in a graveyard for? He's risen. And they run back and tell the disciples. Mary, however, in one of the other accounts, she hangs around for a little bit, and she's weeping. And she sees this man coming towards her, and she begs him to tell him where the body is, because if you remember, Mary also gave a pound of spikenard. She gave that to the Lord and anointed him with it. She had devoted everything to Jesus, and she wanted to do him this final offering or token of respect in making sure he was properly buried and anointed. And she begged this of Jesus, whom she thought was the gardener. And Jesus called her Mary. And in John chapter 20, and the Bible records that she turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is the same master. And she's probably running towards him to hug him. And Jesus said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. And shortly after this, back and forth, and groups of disciples coming to visit, Jesus appears in the middle of them. Just like that. And he scares the living daylights out of them. They thought it was a ghost, because they still didn't believe, even though all of the scriptures spoke of what the Lord was going to do, they still didn't believe, as the Word of God says. And the first thing the Lord said was, touch me, feed me. I've got bones, I've got flesh, I'm not a ghost. And it is an interesting thing to note that throughout the Bible, the Gospels specifically, that whenever someone was raised from the dead, many times the Lord said, give them something to eat. The Lord said, have you anything to eat? I'll prove to you I'm alive. And he had a bit of fish and a honeycomb. Now everybody was going through a whole raft of emotions. They had just spent 3 days grieving for this man that said, who had called the dead back to life and ordered the weather, even controlled the very density of the water to walk on it, he and Peter. And they were puzzled, because the Bible plainly talks about the Lord's kingdom coming back. It mentioned it in Daniel about the rock that hits the huge statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about and destroys it from the ground up, and then the rock expands to fill the whole earth. In Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah chapter 9, it talks about the increase of his kingdom. There will be no end to it. You know the verse that says, "For unto us a child is given, a son is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And it talks about the government being upon his shoulders. No, Christ ruling the world. And of the increase of his kingdom there shall be no end. All of a sudden he's dead. And they were all confused. And grieving. And we'll come to that in just a little bit. But the Lord speaks to them. And it talks about him opening their understanding in verse number 45. Putting things in order. And as we read the account of the two men on the road to Emmaus, the Lord talks to them about the Old Testament. Bear in mind, there were no Gospels written then. There was no Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, or even 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. All we need is another John here, and we could do that. There was none of that. It was the Old Testament. And everything that Jesus did, every miracle that he did, every word that he spoke, the feeding of the 5,000, the calming of the winds and the waves, the casting out of demons, even his being born in the year that he was and riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, the Lord said, "Do you remember what the prophet Isaiah said? Do you remember that? Do you remember the prophet Daniel? Isaiah talked about the Lord being born of a virgin." And they would say, "We remember Mary telling us about that." Do you remember in Isaiah, where it talked about, in Isaiah 53, the perfect description of God and all he came to do? We remember him talking about that. And all of the things. I've got to tell you something, friends. The Bible had its detractors back then, people that didn't like it. But they couldn't doubt it. It was history. It's not a book of fairy tales. It's a history book. It's a history book of the Jews. And I want to tell you, it's not a very favorable history book to the Jews. Because the last half of the Old Testament is mostly taken up by God wagging his finger at them and telling them hard things are going to happen. And he explains all these things. And they start to say, "You know what? That's right." And it was 483 years after Daniel was told to rebuild Jerusalem, that the Lord rode into Jerusalem there just a week or two ago. That's right. And he's just raised himself back from the dead. And he said, "I have the power to lay down my life. And I have the power to take it up again." That's absolutely right. And as all of these things that the two men on the road to Emmaus, obviously very sad, and it is amazing. The Bible says it is better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting. Because whenever you're mourning, all the frivolous things in the world don't matter anymore. It is the important foundational things that matter. At the risk of talking about myself for just a minute, when I was in hospital 4 years ago and I had noted the same thing on a number of people who have been very ill, your favourite TV programme doesn't matter. Your favourite video game doesn't matter. Your favourite pair of shoes doesn't matter. Whether your car is washed and balloted doesn't matter. Your birthday doesn't matter. The only thing that is important to the Christian, in fact should be important to anyone, is your soul saved? If this doesn't go the way the old man wants, when I step off this mortal coil, will I step off into the hands of the God that gave his life for me on the cross of Calvary? And so they were only thinking about important things. And whenever God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, spoke to them of these prophecies, reminded them of the miracles, reminded them of what, goodness, all of the prophets said about it. He said their hearts burned within them. In other words, it's making sense. It's striking a chord. The Lord always knew the words to say. For one of the disciples, Nathanael was sitting under, I think it was a fig tree, whenever his brother caught up and said, "We found the Messiah, come on!" And so Nathaniel, they're away on to Salmon. The Lord said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." And Nathaniel said, "How do you even know me?" He says, "I saw you under the fig tree." Nathaniel was going, "How's that even possible? As soon as my brother mentioned that to me, I got up and I legged it to see this guy. It is impossible, but not with God. With man, these things are impossible, but not with God." And so, these same men who begged this stranger who was preaching the gospel to him, "Don't go any further, it's dangerous, there's highwaymen about, there's robbers, come in and eat with us and stay with us tonight in the village." As soon as their eyes are open, as soon as they understand, this is Jesus, he disappears out of their sight. And such was their joy. They forget about the highwaymen and the robbers. They head back to tell the disciples, and even as they are telling them, Jesus appears in the midst of them. And the words that really spoke to me, I reckon it's like the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and eventually people understanding, did not our heart burn within us whenever he spoke to us about the scripture and showed how they referred to himself? Because let's be honest, folks, there is a lot of study in the Bible. I know of LGBT groups that even use the Bible, not to justify themselves, but to say that we might be sinners, but you're sinners as well. Which is absolutely true, but misses the point of the Bible. It is not by following the commandments that we're saved. It's by reading the commandments we understand that we're lost, so that we can follow Jesus and be saved. Their eyes were opened, and their hearts burned as he spoke. I know in this day, 2024, it is the 31st of the 3rd. Judging by the fact that you're all here, you remember to put your R forward on the clocks. There is somebody somewhere still lying in their bed thinking, I have another 15 or 20 minutes before I have to get out the door to church, and they're going to miss the whole thing. But you didn't, and I'm glad of that. But there are many people, just like these two men on the road to Emmaus, they're wondering. I know a lot of people are caught up in chocolate bunnies and chocolate Easter eggs, and they're grinding their teeth through the Resurrection Sunday service. Oh, goodness, can we not get to the last hymn so that I can get out of here? There aren't many people like that. But you know what? As you get a bit long in the tooth, and you experience a bit of life, the good and the bad, you might be like the guys on the road to Emmaus. And you might be saying, I thought things were going to work out differently. I thought there would be no bother. I thought we were going to rule the world with Jesus Christ the Messiah. But instead he's dead. I don't understand. So we have the Lord opening their understanding. But it's interesting to note, there's about two days in the year, there's one Sunday, Easter Sunday. There might be one or two cars up on that car park at the present length, but it should be empty, and the shops should all be closed, and then of course you have Christmas Day. There's going to be people singing songs. Some of the songs that we sung today have been sung for hundreds of years. People are going to read somewhere in another church in the land across the world. Luke 24 is going to be read from the King James Bible. That is a book. It was a book drenched in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and those believers that gave their lives to make sure we could have the Bible in English. And here we have it today. They're going to be listening to the account of the illegal arrest of Jesus. The kangaroo court that convicted them of nothing but preaching the gospel. In fact, that sounds like TV today. We're going to hear about the trumped up charges. We're going to hear about the Lord having the living daylights beaten out of him, punched and slapped, and then getting beaten with the cat of nine tails, even after having been publicly admitted to be innocent three times. We're told about that. We're told about the suffering on the cross and the separation of God that Christ went through so we never have to, regardless of what comes our way. The taking of our sins upon him and him becoming sin for us. I can hardly imagine what that's like. For 3 days and night in the heart of the earth, a lot of people take that to believe that Jesus was suffering in hell. That's not the case. Before the Lord went up to heaven, there was a place called paradise just across from a place called hell. And a great gulf between. Read Luke chapter 16 and read about the goings on. All the people that were in paradise could see all the people in hell crying out, "Oh no, no, it's awful here!" And tormented day and night. Can you imagine the Lord coming and saying to everybody, I'm sure he didn't have to say much, he said, any of you boys want to be here whenever paradise is gone? I would say it would have been, everyone knew Jesus straight away, told them, and the Messiah, they didn't have to know that because they would know it straight away. Do you want to come to heaven with me? Do you think anyone would turn it down? No. The Bible then said, hell hath enlarged herself beyond measure, because there were not going to be thousands or tens of thousands of people in hell. There's going to be billions of people in hell. That is a very sad story, a very sad prehistorical account. But Jesus hadn't come back from the dead. He would just be like any other religious leader. How many popes are in the grave right now? Every single one that has ever been, except the ones that are sitting today, is in the grave. Their bodies have rotted away to dust and bones. They're all dead. Charles Taj Russell, who started the Jehovah's Witness, is dead in the grave. Ellen G. White, I think the Seventh-day Adventist, she's dead in the grave. The guys that started the Mormon movement, they're dead and in the grave. Fella that started the Charismatic movement, dead in the grave. Even the folks that started the Presbyterian, the Church of Ireland, the Methodist, the Roman, all of them, they're dead in the grave, but there's one man. There's Jesus Christ, the creator and maintainer, the author and finisher of Christianity, is alive in heaven. And he was shown for over 40 days. I don't know if you remember the verses that Norman was reading this morning that said, seen alive of over 500 people in those 40 days. They only had to be seen alive by two to make it legal. But 500. Jesus raised himself from the dead. And we know that these men were scared out of their wits. They were. They were hiding in the upper room whenever Pentecost came, when the Holy Spirit touched them, when the Holy Spirit started to give them the words and the languages of all the Jews around and about them. They were scared. But whenever they went in the upper rooms, just like the Lord said, if you stood over to the book of Acts and start reading, the Holy Spirit indwelt them, cloven tongues of fire, a mighty rushing wind, and they were able to preach the gospel to all the strangers of Jerusalem. Sometimes I think we hear this so often we don't appreciate it anymore. How come so many people can read this in the Bible? They can even look at a history book, a secular history book, and see history reflected in the Bible. How many computer science people can look at the New Testament and even the Old Testament, where Daniel spoke about knowledge being greatly increased? And if I asked you, how do you build a nuclear bomb? Google would say, you need 2 pounds of enriched uranium and a couple of pounds of plastic explosive. And you're well on your way to building a nuclear bomb. Google will tell you that. Well, it used to. Google will tell you that images can be given, given life, just like Daniel said about 3,000 years ago. And we can see this, and we can see the weaponry that we have at our disposal now that are completely able to destroy every living thing, just like it said in Matthew chapter 24. We can read about, it's talked about the images given life. We pick up our phones. Everyone has them in their pocket. 100 years ago, we had to go to a cinema to see moving pictures, but it's only in the last 100 years. When the Lord said that every eye would see him come back, we're all going to be looking on our phones. Just like the Bible said, and everyone will be able to see him come back. These are not new things. How many times do people have the scriptures explained to them? How many times do people have to see prophecy not revealed? It's not magic. It's literally happening in front of our eyes and still not get it. It's like having a little box of stuff in the attic of your mind and completely forgetting about it. In this country, I'm sure everybody heard about Jesus and sang "Jesus Loves Me" and said the wee prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to pick." They're doing their very best to get that, get rid of that out of society altogether. But most people know that. Most people have the words of eternal life, in this country at least, in the back of their mind somewhere in a box that's never opened. We have the promises of God that are as personal as a thing can get. That if you put your faith in me, I'll save your soul. All you've got to do is ask. I'll never do away with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never cast you out. And I'll provide for you right now. Just waiting for the right time. When those words, when those prophecies, when those promises strike a chord in our hearts and say, hold on a wee second. That is the answer to something I've been asking for years. And why the world is the way it is? Well, because it's the result of men abandoning God hand over fist is why the world is the way it is. And deep down inside, they know the Bible is right, which is why there is so much persecution of the Bible and the people of the Bible. Just waiting for someone to say, like the two men on the road to Emmaus, hold on a wee second. Whenever he was talking, did that not make sense? Did the Bible not literally come to life in my hands when I was watching YouTube? An image given life. Surely we should be looking a bit farther than our military. Because even everyone in the military someday is going to meet their maker. Surely we should be looking a bit farther than our technology. Because today's technology is tomorrow's antique. How can people not get it? I'm going to tell you something, friends. I am thankful. It took me nearly... I was 23 years old before I got saved. I was this guy on the road to Emmaus asking about the supernatural world that lays just beyond this one. The things that happen. Asking why my heart was never happy but always convicted. The thing about it is, this book, this King James Bible, it has the keys to eternity. The keys to heaven. Does anyone remember the Lord saying to Peter, "I give unto you the keys of heaven," or words to that effect. Whenever he was talking to him, he said, "Thou art Simon, your surname is going to be Peter, you're going to be a little stone, but upon this rock," he said, "myself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not stand against it. And I give unto you the keys of heaven." These are the keys of heaven. The scriptures, the ability to preach, the ability to warn people. You have a soul that God loves and cherishes and values. You need to make sure it's safe And there's only one person can do that, and that's Jesus. And when you trust him, the Bible says, he will keep you in the palm of his hand like that, and no one will ever pluck you out. The aim in life is not to feel happy. Happiness is only a byproduct of accomplishment. The aim in life is to know that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That you get the colour turned on in your TV and the sound turned up and the subwoofer turned on instead of listening to... Did anybody ever make a wee crystal radio whenever they were little? Instead of listening to that tinny wee earphone that you stuck in your ear, you're listening to full stereo, surround sound stereo, and in glorious, I think in Apple they call it retina colour. That's the plan. To walk and talk with the Lord for the rest of your life. That's not a burden, that's a joy. That's a release valve. And knowing that as you do that, everything is working out for the best. This is most people in the world. They're walking along this road. There is danger hiding in the hedges. And the Lord is walking with them, talking to them, reminding them with fulfilled prophecy and remembered hymns and Sunday school songs. But there is a God. And all he wants for us to do is to say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, would you please save me? And to mean it from the bottom of your heart. He wants to save these very short lives that we have and to give us an eternal life with him when this life is over. I know, it seems like a big step to take. Before I got saved, it seemed like a huge step to take. I want you to remember a few people. The thieves on the cross didn't get it either at the very start. They didn't. They were nailed to these huge crosses. Death sentence. Desperate to survive. The people were walking past and saying, ha, some savior you are. Why don't you save yourself? And somebody was listening and said, I remember him saying, you will surely say to me, physician, heal thyself. Said he could save others, but he can't save himself. They said the same thing. But one realized, hold on a second. The only way out is through. And the only way through is with Jesus. And he said, Lord, he said to his friend, would you shut up? We're here because we deserve to be here. This man has done nothing wrong. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I'm sorry. Would you please save me? And the Lord gave him the cast iron guarantee that he gives to everybody that asks him. Not verily this day you will be with me in paradise. Verily someday, Christian, you will be with the Lord in heaven whenever you choose him as your Savior. The disciples didn't even get it at the start. The two men on the road to Emmaus didn't get it at the start. But whenever Jesus appeared alive, doing the one thing no other religious leader could do, come back from the dead, healing hearty, everything healed except the marks of the cross in his hands and in his feet and in his side. He opened their understanding. They understood. And they took that tiny step of faith. It's not a leap of faith. It's a tiny step because Jesus did all of the heavy lifting. He did all the work. All we have to do is apologize from the depths of our heart. And I can stand on one leg and apologize. That's a bit harder than standing on two legs and apologize. I might even be able to stand on tippy toes and apologize. I can lift my Bible up on one hand and stand on tippy toes and apologize. Jesus, forgive us our sins. He did all the work. All we have to do is have a change of heart. Romans chapter 10, one of my favorite verses, it just says, if you will confess with your lips the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's all it takes. Without that, we wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for free, we wouldn't be saved. The more that I read of the Bible, and the more that I, believe it or not, even apply my computer science knowledge to the Bible and to the prophecies of the latter days, the more that I understand God is not only real, he's alive and well today. His salvation works, because without it, I wouldn't be here. I would be in America working for IBM or Microsoft. The scriptures are true because they keep happening. They're happening even in the papers right now. And all of the prophecies that he has made are coming true. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it has this challenge. If all of these things are just like the Bible says they are, what manner of person ought we to be? If the judgment that is coming to this world is going to be fearsome and deadly for about at least 50% of the world's population, anybody here ready to take a 50-50 chance on their life? If I put a glass of strychnine down and a glass of water and mixed them up and covered them up, would you be prepared to take a 50-50 on that? I certainly wouldn't. I'm going for the 100% trust in Christ. What should we do? What manner of person ought we to be? We ought to be Christians. We ought to be saved. It's free, and it's forever, and it's for sure, and it's what Christ gave his life for on the cross and came back from the dead to prove it was true. Better than any Easter egg, better than any chocolate egg, better than any day off. It puts everything in perspective and adds a dimension to life that you just can't understand until you're there. And that is the free gift of everlasting life. Friends, God loves you, and he wants the very best for you. And I pray you think seriously about where you will stand eternally. Amen. I'm stopping there. Thank you very much for your good time and attention. We're going to sing our closing hymn, and then we are going to fellowship for a little bit whilst we get the food and whatnot ready, and in about 25 minutes we will head in for lunch. You see what hymn I still have left to sing. I think it's creased in here. There we go. 355 in the big book, 355. What a friend we have in Jesus. If you're able, join me as we stand and sing hymn number 355. Amen. God bless you, folks. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit, and we will let you know whenever the food's been served.
Yes. Ask
we'll ask the blessing now. Won't you, Will, as you pray for us and dismiss the service? Let's close our eyes and bow our head.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the service, Lord. May I store up my heart, Lord. May I praise that great body of the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Teach those mighty and powerful throughout this land, throughout this world, even at this day, Lord. And Lord, may we remember the sacraments of Jesus down the cross for our sins and the free gift of eternal life to whoever who accepts Christ, Lord, and repents of their sins, saying, send them to sorrow, Lord, from the bottom of the heart, that they accept what your Jesus Christ. Free gift of eternal life, Lord, that they may be saved, Lord, as a cast iron promise that Jesus Christ paid the cost for our sins, Lord. Lord, give us this day, Lord, bless the sermon afterwards, Lord, also bless the fruit to our bodies, Lord, and may I say a blessing, Lord, as well, Lord, and give us the case for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, God bless you. Thank you again for your good time and attention. Shake hands.